Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. And joining us today is George Ogilvy, CEO and president of Rambler Metals and Mining. The company trades on the TSX Venture, and the ticker symbol is RAB. And on AIM, ticker symbol is RMM. And Rambler Metals and Mining is carries out development and exploration on the Rambler property located in Newfoundland, as well as Labrador's Bay Verte Peninsula. Thanks for joining us today, George.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Juan. Thank you.
Great. Now, start off by talking to us about the acquisition of Nugget Pond Gold Facility from Crew Gold.
Well, the Nugget Pond Gold Facility sets about 40 kilometers from Rambler's main project, which is the Ming Mine, which is a former producing copper gold mine. The acquisition of the mill was an extremely good deal for Rambler. First of all, we purchased the mill for $3.5 million Canadian dollars only, and yet today it has a replacement cost of close to $40 million Canadian dollars. What that does for Rambler is it significantly reduces the capex requirement to bring the Ming mine back into production. It also gives us a clear path to production. And one of the things about that mill is it is currently operating, has a labor force of 24 employees, and it has a permitted and operating tailings facility, which of course significantly reduces the risk of gaining permitting to bring the mine into production.
Great. And so you also recently released your year-end financial results for year ending July 31st, 2009. What were some of those highlights, as well as give us an update on Ming Mine?
Well, I think one of the key significant developments with Rambler and our financials was that we just recently completed a private placement for £5.5 million pounds, which is about $8 million US dollars. So that means now the company is well funded for the next year, and of course completing the private placement we believe endorses the project. That private placement that we completed as well amounts to about 30% of the overall project financing that's going to be required to bring the Ming mine into production. And, of course, that allowed us to purchase the Nugget Pond mill facility.
Sure. And so what were some of our listeners that are, that are just now following the Rambler story, what were some of the highlights of the updated N143-101 on Ming?
Well,
that was done early in the year.
Yes, we've issued a second National Instrument 43-101 in April of 2009. We focused then purely on the massive sulfide, which is the high-grade deposits that we have within the Ming deposit. And we did that deliberately in order to minimize the time to production, to minimize the capital requirements, and also to provide us with a low cash cost per pound so that the mine could be profitable even if we saw copper prices going down to, let's say, a dollar a pound. The Ming mine would still show profitability at those type of prices. So the 43-101 we issued basically showed that we had 3.5 million tons of ore in the ground at an average grade of 2.2% copper and about 1.4 grams per ton gold, which today is about a 4% copper equivalent and is quite high grade for an underground deposit. And that gave us about 80,000 tons of contained copper metal, 161,000 ounces of gold, and just over 900,000 ounces of silver is in the resource as well, all which can be mined over a 10-year time frame.
Great. And so talk about some of the market trends in ore, copper, and gold, George, and how well-positioned Rambler Metals and Mining is to capitalize on them.
Well, I mean, first of all, with respect to copper, as we all know, copper is one of the main building blocks which we require when economies grow. And I think the copper price has been hanging in at the levels, at the high levels that it's been at of late because of all the demand that's been coming out of China. Now, some of that demand may be beginning to wane, but I think the copper price is staying high at the moment because of some of the inflationary pressures we're seeing on the weakening U.S. dollar. And as we know, all commodities are sold in U.S. dollars, so I think that's what's driving the price at the moment. But with respect to the overall markets, principally copper demand has really come out of North America, Europe, and Japan in the past. And at the moment, those economies are just beginning to come out of a recession. So what that means to me is that towards the second half of 2010, I think when those economies are really well out of a recession and we're seeing some real growth in the GDP numbers, that tells me that the demand for copper is going to go up in those principal drive areas that we've seen in the past. And historically, what has driven the copper price has always been the supply chain. The supply chain for copper has always been disrupted, and I think that disrupted supply chain is going to be even more highlighted towards the back end of 2010 when the demand comes back. And subsequently, I think you're going to see the copper price being at today's levels or potentially higher than the levels we're currently seeing. As far as the gold is concerned, obviously, well, with a weak U.S. dollar, I think that is obviously driving the gold price. And if there are still fears out there in the economy with respect to risk and the potential not to see any growth, I think we're going to see the gold price remaining relatively high, certainly above $1,000 an ounce. And Rambler as a company is well positioned to take advantage of both those commodities. The Ming mine is a former copper gold mine that has some substantial copper contained within the resource. But at the same time, we carry a nice gold credit that if we see volatility in the marketplace and the gold price going higher, then Rambler can see some significant revenue coming in, not just from the copper, but also from the gold revenue stream as well.
Definitely. And so what are some of the things that makes the company unique from some of the other players in your sector?
Well, I think the key things for me, Juan, is that small junior companies, when they're assessed by analysts and investors, usually they're assessed with a significant discount because there's always a risk and an inherent one that an explorer may not actually make it to production. And in most cases, most explorers do not make it to production. I think Rambler's in a slightly different position in that we have a former producing mine that historically had very good grades, good metallurgy, and was profitable. We're also doing business, I believe, in the right part of the world, i.e. Newfoundland, Canada. So from a political, socioeconomic risk perspective, it's a very low-risk project. We have a lot of the infrastructure already in place that mines require when they're in production, i.e. there's a paved road system, the national power grid system runs next to, adjacent to the mine. We have access to fresh water. We have an operating mill that's permitted with a tailings pond. We have a town, the town of Bay Vert, which is only 17 kilometers from the mine, and that's where we've drawn our labor pool from. We're in a mining-friendly environment, and we also have a working port, deep water port, that gives us year-round access and the ability to access the Atlantic shipping lanes, which can take the concentrate product over to Europe or potentially come around up the St. Lawrence River and take the product up to the Horn smelter in northern Quebec. We know as well that this project has minimal capex compared to its peers to bring it to production, and we're about 12 to 15 months away from commercial production. So I believe because of all of those issues, this project has minimal risk and therefore sets it apart from some of its peers which are out there today.
very good answer. And perhaps you could walk us through your background and experience, George, as well as that of some of the key management team at Rambler.
Yep. Juan, my background is originally from Scotland. Graduated with a mining engineer degree in 1989. Went to work for Anglo Gold down in South Africa in the deep level gold mines in Welkom and in the Transvaal. Was down there with Anglo Gold for 8 years and was looking to transfer out of South Africa and gold and get some experience in base metals in 1997. Fortunately, I was able to get a transfer from Anglo Gold to Anglo Base and made my way up to Hudson Bay Mining and Smelting in Leaf Rapids and then later Flin Flon, and worked for Hud Bay for 7 years. So in total, after 15 years with one of the major natural resource companies, i.e. Anglo-American, after 15 years, I resigned my position and went to work for Dynatec in the Sudbury Basin, where I was the area contracts manager, looking after contracts that we had with Inco at the time and Falconbridge. And also, I was part of the team whereby we had joint ventures with FNX, who are currently working in the Sudbury mining camp. In 2006, I was headhunted by Rambler Metals and Mining to come on board as their chief operating officer and basically take the company from a grassroots explorer through to a mid-tier mining company over a 5 to 10 year time frame, and we're now currently 3 years into that plan. We do have a very experienced management team on the ground in Bay Verde. Our general manager has over 30 years of international mining experience, and the last position he had was at the Tara mine in Navan, which is the largest underground lead zinc mine in Europe, and he's also spent significant time with Procon as a contractor. Larry Pelgrim is also a professional geologist who works in and out of Newfoundland. He spent his entire career understanding the deposits in Newfoundland and knows those deposits very, very well. And that's where the company initially intends to grow, out of Newfoundland and Labrador. So we have key people in on the ground who are capable and have delivered up until now in moving this project forward.
Certainly. And so what are some of the specific milestones and goals that the management team hopes to accomplish over the course of the next 12 months?
Well, the next key goal for ourselves is to complete the project financing. To bring this mine into production is going to require $28 million. In effect, with the private placement of $8 million that we've just completed, the equity component is now done, and we're now working on the debt and or gold loan slash royalty component of the remaining $20 million requirement. That should be in place by the first quarter of 2010, which then allows Rambler to immediately move into a construction and pre-development program, both at the mill and the mine. And there's a 6 to 9 month window for the construction and pre-development, which therefore brings the mine into first production towards the back end of 2010, with commercial production being declared in the second quarter of 2011.
Good. And so as far as the way that the company works within the sector, are alliances and joint ventures an important part of your business model?
Yes, it is one. The acquisition of the mill actually has provided Rambler with a real strategic opportunity. The mill is actually a gold mill, which we intend to expand by adding in copper flotation circuits and a regrind mill to allow it to handle base metals. But we won't be taking out the gold hydrometallurgical plant. So suddenly now we have a mill which is capable of handling both free gold and base metal concentrate. What that has allowed Rambler to do is actually now start to look at farm-in agreements on other properties within a 200-kilometer radius of the mill, which certainly if they came into production, the ore would have to be trucked up to the Nugget Pond mill. And indeed, we just signed an agreement with a small company called Seaside Realty who has the Big Bear Gold property, which is about 20 kilometers from the Nugget Pond Mill. It's had historical drilling done on it and has had some really good intersections, some of them actually better than an ounce per ton of gold, with grab samples being taken on surface of better than 8 grams. And all Rambler has to do over a 2-year period to earn a 50% earn-in on that project is just basically provide its management time and technical expertise, while the all the drilling and the assaying costs will actually be covered off by the current owner of the property. So I think that example shows, you know, Rambler's strategy of how we're going to be able to grow the company externally away from the Ming mine.
Good. And in terms of kind of switching gears here, in terms of investors, do you think that right now the financial community understands the whole story and message and upside potential of the company?
To be honest with you there, Juan, I would say at this present moment probably not. Not really in North America. The company initially listed on the AIM, and that's at the moment, that's our primary market, typically where we've raised money. But we do recognize that with the mine being in Newfoundland and Canada, certainly that's the market that has the most potential for growth for Rambler. As we all know, the North American commodities sector is 10 times the size of London. So we really haven't pushed the marketing side of the business in North America. But now that we have a clear path to production, we certainly intend to do more marketing and promotional work in North America to increase the company's exposure to that market and get the message out there that, you know, this the Rambler anyway, the Ming mine, is certainly a very good investment and is going to show significant returns on investment for investors as we move forward.
Definitely. And once again, joining us today is George Ogilvie, CEO and President of Rambler Metals and Mining. The company trades on AIM, ticker symbol is RMM, as well as on the TSX Venture, ticker symbol is RAB, and is currently trading slightly north of 49 cents a share. Now, before we conclude, George, just to kind of rehash everything, what are some of the key reasons why investors should consider Rambler Metals and Mining as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Well, just to recap one, certainly we know that explorers are valued differently in the marketplace because of the inherent risks of taking an exploration project to production. So as explorers move to the production phase, those that can actually make that jump, we know that there are going to be significant increases in the share price. And I believe Rambler is well positioned and will actually make that jump to a mine producer over the next 12 to 15 months. And the principal reasons for that are because we have a historical mine with very good grades, known metallurgy. We have the infrastructure in place to allow the mine to come into production. We also have the company is well financed. We have a respected board and we have a good known proven management team. Well, we also have a National Instrument 43-101 resource, which gives us a life of mine in excess of 10 years with some very nice grades.
Well, we certainly do look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on your progress. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today and to update our investors, George.
It was my pleasure, Juan, and thank you ever so much.